Goliath analysis, although we were a mass movement, so it wasn't exactly David and Goliath, because it's not an individual that changes history, it's movements that change history. But just for the moment, bear with me, the David and Goliath analysis. The Pacifica National Board was definitely hijacked. Some people call it kind of corporate raiders and aiders. I actually think that it came more out of particular factions of government. I think that the Democratic Leadership Council had everything to do with the usurpation of what was a progressive station with indeed revolutionary leanings. We had always been here for our 41 years to support the cause, not just against war, but an activist cause to support those people who were seeking righteousness and fighting against the forces of oppression. If that's what we did with Grenada. That's what we did with Nicaragua. That's what we did in Guatemala. That's what we did in Vietnam. We supported the efforts of the North Vietnamese. We weren't just opposed to war. That's what's made this station singularly important. And that's what's made the Pacifica network important. And that was usurped. That was stolen. So there was an effort to begin to vitiate all those kind of spikes and prodding, the tilting against the status quo, and kind of water us down. There was a wobbling and around the issue of the ultimate sanction, the death penalty. There can't be. There can't be. That is the ultimate sanction. This has to be a station that strikes forward in its motion to transform a society that doesn't stand for social justice. We have to be the first ones to talk about what it means to set up military tribunals. We have to be the first one to let you know that right now, even as we speak, right now in New Jersey, there's a demonstration in support of Muslims and Arabs people who are incarcerated in New Jersey as a result of 9-1-1, having nothing whatsoever to do with the acts of terrorism, but they are being profiled. Profiling hasn't gone away. It's merely extended to another group of people as well. And that is our social legacy. And it's been informed by Martin Luther King. And it was informed by his transformation as he began to move away just from the, not just from the issues of integration and so on, but moved to the issues of anti-colonialist, anti-imperialist ideology. Moved to the issue of supporting the working class. As Ken mentioned just a moment ago, Martin Luther King was in Memphis when he lost his life. He had gone there against the council of many of his advisors to immerse himself in the months-long struggle of the Memphis sanitation workers. He was there to mobilize and march and organize for them. He was steeped in a revolutionary notion. And in his Riverside speech in 1967, which was then followed by another speech before the labor movement, prodding and poking and demanding of them that they take on an anti-war stance, that they support the indigenous people of North Vietnam to rid themselves of colonialism. That's what Dr. Martin Luther King was about and lost his life. And Pacifica, make no mistake, my comrades, Pacifica came under attack because it is an advocate. It was not people who just wanted economic remuneration from it. It was people who wanted to steal its revolutionary voice that had been prominent for decades. And I know that I suffered tremendously as a listener when I wanted to know what to do after 9-1-1. Where were the marches? Where were the demonstrations? Where was the discourse? Where was the intelligence around what is really happening in Afghanistan? The plight of the refugees there, the continuation of the bombings and decimation. My station wasn't there. But it's back. It's back, and that's what we have gained, and we've gained it without ever again taking for granted how easy it is, if you are not minding the store, to lose it, and how important it will be to put in place democratic structures in this station and for this network to make sure it is never wrested away from us again. And you need to help us get financially solvent now, too, so we can continue this wonderful media outlet that is absolutely irreplaceable. Please call 212-209-2950. Right now, your well wishes and your pledges are really what keep us alive.
That's
very much so.
212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 for WBAI, for Pacifica Radio, WBAI 99.5 FM. This is Building Bridges, your Community and Labor Report. And we like to think that a lot of what Dr. Martin Luther King was doing, the direction he was going, not only the direction he was going, the direction he was in 65 and 66 and more and more and more until unfortunately his death in 68 was building bridges between the movements, between the civil rights movement and the peace movement, between the peace movement and the civil rights movement and the labor movement. All of these movements which were coexisting, a lot of the same people were in the movements for different, they were all doing their own thing in some kind of way, but what King was doing was starting to unite all those movements. The peace movement by coming out against the war in Vietnam. Of course, he came from the civil rights movement. Of course, he was starting to get more involved with the labor movement. Not only the labor movement, but as Bill Fletcher said, the union movement, the Memphis sanitation workers. There was a coming together of all of those movements toward the end of the 60s, toward 68, and that's when he was assassinated. And that's when things started to fall apart. Things started to fall apart after that for a number of different reasons. But that is the kind of eye on the prize that we have to be looking towards. What was going? It's not enough just to celebrate the King holiday, to say you're celebrating. It's to try to draw some lessons from what was going on back in the 60s, from what was happening not only with King, but what was happening in the wider movement that King was a part of. And we like to think that building bridges, but more generally, WBAI is the kind of station, and Pacifica is the kind of network that brings all and is capable of bringing all of these different strands of the movement together when they get together on the outside there, and when we can report on them and we can try to be the spark for that kind of movement. It's an incredible resource that we've got back together again in the studios of WBAI. 212-209-2950. We're a lot stronger now. We're a lot stronger now ourselves. We're a lot stronger now in terms of the numbers of listeners supporting the station and the activism of the listeners. We're a lot stronger because of WBIX Radio. They're going to have to change that name on the internet.
It's
still www.wbix.org, which, by the way, we're on Tuesdays at 9 p.m. We'll be doing some new things, but we'll also be repeating our shows at that time, Tuesdays at 9 p.m. But they've got a lot of very exciting things on that internet station. We're stronger because a whole lot of factors, and because Pacifica is back also. But you have to do your part right now, and your part used to be and will still be to be out on the streets, but you have to give us money right now so that we can support the struggles on the streets. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950 for WBAI and for Pacifica Radio. Mimi, take it away.
Well, you know what's so fun now, too? WBIX, Radio in Exile, which became our internet link to hold us all together and to get wonderful programming around the country. And we even have a bus to do it. It actually has a home now. WBIX is going to be housed in WBAI. And what's so exciting about that is it's going to become the training ground. Because one of the things that we've needed to do for years is bring more youth into the process. We needed to have that organizing. We needed to teach people engineering. And WBIX did that. So it's our training ground. That is our revolutionary component of the station, to bring people on, people who had never thought that they could get involved with radio. And think about it. It's an international connection. It's the easiest thing in the world, and its potential is enormous. And now WBIX has a home. We've wanted to do that for years at WBAI, which is really to have a great website and to begin to mobilize and use the potential of the Internet as a complement to the radio wave. And we've got that now, so we really are stronger. You know, my mom said it, and she's quite remarkable. What my mother understood about this last year, and it's the truth about King as well, and that is it's the struggle itself. It's not even the ultimate conclusion or that we want success that informs us and strengthens us. It's the actuality of being immersed in something that feels right and feels proper, and the friendships that are formed and the intellectual spirit and the spirituality that becomes part of what it means to sit in a meeting or to be on a picket line or to fight for something you believe in. And we just accomplished the largest, most important media battle really in the history of this country. The left, progressive forces, and it's a very diverse group within that, has won a network that links us together in thought, that can bring you the Martin Luther Kings, that can bring you the Malcolms and all of their prodigy, all of those who came out of those battles for civil and human rights, all to the end of making our society so much more fulfilled, so much more equal. It's not going to be the Bill Gates with billions versus those who can barely have enough money to stay in their apartments in a cold climate. That's what we're tilting at, and that's what we're breaking down. And now we have WBAI, we have four other stations, we have Free Speech Radio News with its correspondents around the world going to the most insightful and difficult things, saying the hell with you to that globalized and homogenized media. All of that is what we've come back with, strengthened, and we've come back with people like Joyce Jones, who was one of the people who brought you Radio in Exile, and people like Rosalie Hoffman and Paul Thurville,
who ran out again.
Was out every day in front of the studios protesting, one person, one voice saying, I oppose what's happening. And people like Janice K. Bryant, who were undaunted. And, of course, our brother Bernard White and all the other wonderful, wonderful people. And Rachel Barr and Eileen Sutton with Free Speech Radio News and so many more that will always be named, because this is your station, your studio, and you're going to be in here. And you have to help shore it up financially now.
Right. Give the number.
So those pledges, 212-209-2950, it's a vote of support and encouragement. It's material in nature, but that material sustains us. It's about saying, we want this station back. We like the spirit and the energy that is emanating from it, because we know it's our voice that is radiating out. Call 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950. And what about just a little inspirational kind of music in the background to bring us towards
this, is this one you're going to sing, Mimi? Is that what you're talking about? You're building up to that?
I'm saving that for later. You're being a wise guy. You're getting a little bit flippant here. They let you back in the studio one day after you dissed Major Owens, and look at you. You're berating
me
for
my
desire
to sing. I dissed Major Owens?
You are a scurrilous character, Mr. Nash.
And I didn't elbow you through his lead.
How about marching on with a dream as people call 212-209-2950.
Thank
you, Ken.
209-2950 in area code.
Come on, 212-209-2950. We want to make that 100 grand today.
2950 for WBAI.
Somehow show the world this is how the dream began. Don't say there's no hope. We've Like Dr. King, 65ers have always been unalterably opposed to the war in Vietnam. On November 11th, 1967, leaders of 65, along with hundreds of other trade union leaders, at a Chicago Labor Conference for Peace, heard from Dr. King on the war in Vietnam.
Mr. Chairman, distinguished dais guests, my brothers and sisters of the labor movement, ladies and gentlemen, I need not pause to say how very delighted I am to be here this afternoon and to be some little part of this extremely significant assembly. And I certainly want to commend the persons who have worked so assiduously to make this conference possible, for it is my deep conviction that it will have tremendous meaning and impact in the days to come. I don't feel that I come among strangers today, for I feel that I'm an honorary member of many labor unions all across the country. In fact, I think Cleve Robinson and Dave Livingston of District 65 in New York made me an honorary member a long time ago, and I've been a 65 a long time. But in all seriousness, I'm delighted to be here, and I want to get right into the message, and I want to try to talk very honestly and frankly about this great problem, this great issue that we face as a result of the war in Vietnam. Some of my words may appear to be rather harsh, but they will be as harsh as truth and as gentle as a nonviolent devotee would be. And I want to use as a subject the domestic impact of the war in America. And this question is historic because it is an authentic expression of the conscience of the labor movement. As has been said already this afternoon, tens of millions of Americans oppose a war in Vietnam. Never in our history has there been such a passionate popular resistance to a current war. In addition to the millions upon millions of ordinary people, eminent scholars, distinguished senators, journalists, businessmen, professionals, students, and political leaders at all levels have protested the war and offered alternatives with an amazing tenacity and boldness. But one voice was missing, the loud, clear voice of labor. The absence of that one voice was all the more tragic because it may be the decisive one for tipping the balance toward peace. Labor has been missing. For too long, the moral appeal has been flickering, not shining as it did in its dynamic days of growth. This conference, a united expression of varied branches of labor, reaffirms that the trade union movement is part of forward-looking America. That no matter what the formal resolutions of higher bodies may be, the troubled conscience of the working people cannot be stilled. This conference speaks for millions. And you here today will long be remembered as those who had the courage to speak out and the wisdom to be right. It is noteworthy that the Labour Party of Great Britain, which of course has no responsibility for our actions, nonetheless went on record on October 4th in a formal national resolution calling upon its labor government to dissociate itself completely from U.S. policy in Vietnam. It urged its government to persuade the United States to end the bombing of North Vietnam immediately, permanently, and unconditionally. Now, what are some of the domestic consequences of the war in Vietnam? It has made the great society a myth and replaced it with the troubled and confused society. The war has strengthened domestic reaction. It has given the extreme right, the anti-labor, anti-Negro, and anti-humanistic forces a weapon of spurious patriotism to galvanize its supporters into reaching for power right up to the White House. It hopes to use national frustration to take control and restore the America of social insecurity and power for the privileged. When a Hollywood performer, lacking distinction even as an actor, can become a leading war hawk candidate for the presidency, only the irrationalities induced by a war psychosis can explain such a melancholy turn of events. Yeah. The war in Vietnam has produced a shameful order of priorities in which the decay, squalor, and pollution of the cities are neglected. And even though 70% of our population now live in them, the war has smothered and nearly extinguished the beginnings of progress toward racial justice. The war has created the bizarre spectacle of armed forces of the United States fighting in ghetto streets in America while they are fighting in jungles in Asia. The war has so increased Negro frustration and despair that urban outbreaks are now an ugly feature of the American scene. How can the administration, with quivering anger, denounce the violence of ghetto Negroes when it has given an example of violence in Asia that shocks the world? The users of naval guns, millions of tons of bombs, and revolting napalm cannot speak to Negroes about violence. Only those who are fighting for peace have the moral authority to lecture on nonviolence. Now, I do not want to be misunderstood. I am not equating the so-called Negro violence with the war. The acts of Negroes are infinitely less dangerous and immoral than the deliberate acts of escalation of the war in Vietnam. In fact, the Negroes in the ghetto, goaded and angered by discrimination and neglect, have for the most part deliberately avoided harming persons. They have destroyed property, but even in the grip of rage, the vast majority have vented their anger on inanimate things, not people. When I first decided to take a firm stand against the war in Vietnam, I was subjected to the most bitter criticism by the press, by individuals, and even by some fellow civil rights leaders. There were those who said that I should stay in my place, that I was a civil rights leader, and that these two issues did not mix, and I should stick with civil rights. Well, I had only one answer for that, and it was simply the fact that I have struggled too long and too hard now to get rid of segregation in public accommodations to end up at this point in my life segregating my moral concerns. I made it very clear that I recognize that justice was indivisible. Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere. And then there were those who said, you heard in the civil rights movement, and one spoke to me one day and said, now, Dr. King, don't you think you're going to have to agree more with the administration's policy? I understand that your position on Vietnam has hurt the budget of your organization, and many people who respected you in civil rights have lost that respect, and don't you think that you are going to have to agree more with the administration's policy to regain this? And I had to answer by looking that person into the eye and say, I'm sorry, sir, but you don't know me. I'm not a consensus leader. I do not determine what is right and wrong by looking at the budget of my organization or by taking a Gallup poll of the majority opinion Ultimately, genuine leader is not a searcher for consensus, but a molder of consensus. On some positions, cowardice asks the question, is it
true? Oh, Lord, I'm running.
Funny. 96, 97. We would like to thank and welcome another one of the great supporters and somebody I understand is going to be running for city council in Patterson, Mr. Kelfani. How did it feel walking through an open door at WBAI?
Well, you know, I have to draw a parallel, and I can only phantom certain scenarios, but the reality of the matter is it was like a breath of fresh air when I walked in, and it didn't cause tension, and I didn't see people heading for battle stations. And because the last time that I walked in, that's exactly what happened. People entrenched themselves. And I think that it is a wonderful... I think that it's a wonderful thing that we're able to come back in and do what is to be done. So I really feel like I have come home, and it's a very, very pleasant and beautiful feeling.
Well, it's a beautiful feeling to have you, and it's a beautiful feeling to have worked with Bob Lederer and Susan Lee and Dina Colbert and Paul Serville and Rachel Barr and Rosalie Hoffman and yourself and many, many, and Diane Mason, and Nydia, and on and on and on, and so many, because we are now truly a media mass movement, a family of social activists who are going to rebuild this station.
You know, I think that this has been, everything that happens to you in your life should be a lesson, but I think that this has been a supreme lesson. And I think that there has been so much that has been developed as a byproduct of this circumstance. I mean, there's a whole flank of activity that people had not seen, that never, it was never visible, because when I would go through the streets of Patterson, there were groups of people that would just say, what's going on at BAI? What's the deal? And those were people who never registered on the scale. They didn't come to the meetings. They didn't do all of those things, but they were intensely interested in what happened to their medium, to their tool, and every day it was like a briefing. So I think that there are a bunch of invisible forces that also were at play in this circumstance.
And we're going to find out what drew you down here in a minute, but and that's part of what we are talking about all day today, which is the legacy, the reality, the spiritual aura of Martin Luther King that is part of the history of this station, and anybody who is interested in the cause of social justice and movement building. And we need to rebuild the station financially. It has been decimated. Its money had been misused really by the National for major law firms and PR firms to try to thwart the mass movement to recapture progressive media. And so we have a real serious obligation now to line those coffers, so so that we can progress in every which way. And we need you, if you care about the kind of programming, and also the dozens of people who are in the back now rejoicing and answering phones. We need you to call in. Give them something to do. Yes. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Let's get some more calls coming in, and let us know that the programming that we're doing today and the spirit and the energy and the vibe and the open door policy that is our station is something you care about.
That number again is 212-209-2950, and that number can serve as your passport to another world. You have to understand that here are people who are already doing the work. They should now be compensated in the sense that their compensation is your understanding, and we want you to understand. So pick up the phone and access your passport to what's really going on in the world. 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
What brought you down here today? You said you were listening to... Wait a minute. You were listening to WBAI 99.5 FM. And by the way, I'm Mimi Rosenberg with...
Ken Nash. And remember, 212-209-2950 to help revive this station.
Yeah, what brought me... It actually started yesterday on Gil Noble's show. And that's a very important note because Gil Noble is an institution, and we have to take care of our institutions.
Like it is.
Exactly.
Every Sunday, I have to get my fix, yes.
Exactly. And I was watching his show, and he was playing Martin Luther King's speeches, and I'm not sure if the general public appreciates the profundity of Martin Luther King, his usage of the English language, but it was fueled by his conviction to serve, to assist people. So as I was listening to that this morning, I was up listening to Martin Luther King's speeches on BAI, and he said something that caught my attention. In Patterson, every year they have a celebration, and the celebration is in the church that Martin Luther King spoke in, which was the last place in New Jersey before he was assassinated. And every year, everyone goes to this church, and they fill it up, and every politician you can think of comes there. Well, I happen to be running for office myself as a councilman, and what basically happened was he said that he did not roll on public consensus, or I'm paraphrasing, but he wasn't worried about what people thought as far as him doing the right thing. And I said, you know what? I need to really take care of something today in New York, and I'm not going to roll on public consensus. So he's still with me and still motivating and moving me. I just want to remind you that 212-209-2950 is where you apply for your passport to what's really going on in the world.
209-2950. We wanted to try to make $100,000 today. We are strapped nationally with a $2.8 million debt. Now, what has already changed, and it's almost remarkable, in June of a year and a half ago, we had our books and accounts taken away from us by Pacifica National, and the monies that were coming in, presumably to the studio, were shipped straight out to the National to be used for lawyers. And look at the lawyers they had. Williams and Connolly, Mr. Clinton's impeachment lawyer. Hardly chump change in the spectrum of lawyers. They had people like Epstein, Becker, and Green, one of the multi-billion dollar anti-labor law firms in the world, who were representing Pacifica to try to thwart our efforts to take back this network. That's where the money went, but that's not the case now. The money is returning here. The books that need to be gotten, the salaries that do need to be paid, the opportunities to, I hope in the next years, kind of reconfigure the space a little bit and make it so that we can have more open sessions, poetry readings and small concerts and book parties. All the possibility that is here. Your dollars will go straight into the station now to rebuild this fabulous, exciting place. And you, the engaged listener, who will come through the doors and create the programming, which is what's always happened here. There's never been that boundary, at least not well, maybe the last year, but there hasn't been that boundary between the listeners and the producers. We came together in a homogenized group to create sound. That's what the Battle of Seattle was. That's what the Patrick Dorismond funeral was. You became the commentator. You weren't a spectator. This is an amorphous melding together in many ways of the listener and the producers who become one because we are part of a social movement. And that's what Dr. King was about, too. It's information to inform the struggle for change. And that's our BAI that's back, and the money comes to our coffers to rebuild the station. And we need you to call in 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
These are monies that will go toward fueling the movement. They'll fuel WBAI and Pacifica Radio, but we are the megaphone for the movement. The movement needs to reach out to others who are not yet in it. People doing one thing in the movement need to converse with people who are doing something else. We need a radio station to do that. We have a radio station. We have a network of radio stations. It's called Pacifica. We are WBAI, and we're proud of that. We are proud of that for the first time in a year, I can say that. WBAI, Pacifica Radio, we are the megaphone for the several movements which will combine in some way at some point. We will amplify that until there is one movement, until we really have a mass movement, as we had in the 60s, as was going on when Dr. Martin Luther King was unfortunately killed in Memphis. We need to recreate that movement. We have a number of struggles right now. We don't have a real movement, but institutions like WBAI are the catalyst for those movements to take place. They are the glue that holds things together so people can listen to each other. But we right now need your money because we have been through a serious depletion of resources in the last year. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. This is Martin Luther King's birthday. We're celebrating it for real, in a real way, by asking you for your contributions to put this station back together again in a way that will advance the aims that I'm sure that if Martin Luther King were alive today, he would be for. 212-209-2950.
Ken, I just want to disagree a smidge with you. And while there is not the mass movement, what we realize with the absence of WBAI is we haven't heard about the fact that there really are movements out there. We know that the forces who have been fighting globalization, one of the major struggles in the world against privatization and globalization, there are hundreds of thousands of people who have been out around the world, communities in these things, and yet we haven't had them on our airwaves. As a matter of fact, in the next couple of weeks, February 2nd, there's going to be a mass mobilization in New York around the very same issues of the World Bank, the International Monetary Fund, the crushing debt against the Third World. These issues are going to be right here in New York, and this time you're going to hear them on the ground. Right now, Camus, you should be in New Jersey, because right now there's a demonstration, as we speak, in New Jersey around the rights of the immigrant population. So these are the things that we want to get back to you so that we can participate and be part of that process, because all of this goes to making us an informed activist community of listeners. And it doesn't matter whether it's the cultural components of it, because culture is the way you live your life. It's not, well, we'll put a poem on now and there's some music. It's the way we live our life is the culture of struggle. After all, right, who is my favorite iconoclast and revolutionary? John Coltrane. And if that didn't inform the movement, I don't know what did, right?
212-209-2950.
Wait a minute. I confused myself. What is that number?
212-209-2950. You know, I was just about to say that there is a demonstration going on in Patterson, and I think one in Essex County as well, because the Passaic County Jail is in Patterson. And as you know, Patterson has a reasonably large Arab population. And there have been things that have been hitting the Arab population since 9-1-1. And there is a cloak of secrecy that people don't want to deal with. But our responsibility as first, as good citizens, is to speak truth to power. And then those who are imbued with certain opportunities are obligated to go to the power and let them know that we are, in fact, challenging what they say. So I want to remind you that you have the opportunity to assist us in that challenge by calling 212-209-2950. And in addition to that circumstance, you need to know this. These things do not occur in the abstract. People don't just kind of walk in and say, hey, let's take over the world. You know, they don't do that. They sit and plan these things, and they have resources, and they manipulate. We need to understand that so that we can offer resistance to that situation. What WBAI is actually worth is, as the media in the larger arena says, it's priceless. You can't put a price tag. This is a life-changing modality. It affects people. It touches them. It takes them from one point of their life into another. And you can't put a price tag on that. But you can assist in sustaining that process. And that requires for you to pick up your telephone and dial 212-209-2950. That's 212-209-2950.
Do you know, we're going to go in a moment to another presentation of Martin Luther King, and this one was when he spoke in Birmingham, Alabama, and it was right before the passage of the Civil Rights Bill of 1964, and I want people to remember what happened then. And I find it an inspiration. You know, the one camera, by the way, we've got a camera here. And this is the only camera we all kind of agree maybe should stay in place. The others should go. No more surveillance. But this camera, every time I look up, there are more and more people walking through the door. I saw Sharona walk through the door a couple of minutes ago. And people I have never seen before. It is just so wonderful. Here comes another innocent bystander walking through the door who is here to support BAI. The room is just hopping and filled with good energy and good spirit. And this is a community radio station. And what I've said is that in the last year, you know, we have to mention that people were arrested. Mm-hmm. They were arrested, and they still actually have a court date, so we can't forget things like that. The last time they tried to get in with a local advisory board to the station, they were greeted by the rather stoic an aggressive response. Maybe they seem contradictory. It was an aggressive response of the former station manager, and subsequently people were arrested. And they have a court date. That's Tuesday, January 22nd. Tuesday, January 22nd, and that's in Manhattan, Jury Part 7 at 9:30. And you need to come down and you need to support our colleagues who were arrested in their effort to try to get this radio station back. And that's some of what went into the struggle this last year to wrest back control of this station. 209. I don't know what the one is. 212. Let's be clear now. We don't want anybody to be confused.
It's all my fault.
Well, if I've said it once, I've said it 1,000 times, Ken Nash. It's your fault for being so loyal and so supportive and being such a good colleague over the last year, because you could have stayed on the air, but you chose to hold true to your values and support your colleague when she was ousted, and you're a pretty special guy.
I don't think I could have stayed on the air. I couldn't have stomached that. Give me a break.
209-2950. And you have to remember, because Miguel Maldonado, who was arrested in his efforts to try to get back this station, Miguel, who was an undaunted ceaseless fighter. He just endless, boundless energy around immigrants' rights, around the working class issues, issues of labor and unionization and media, and gave his all to the struggle. He was one of the people arrested, and he's going to be in jury part 7 tomorrow morning at 9:30, and we want to see a mass outpouring, and people are going to make it clear to that judge and that prosecutor, we want that case dismissed. That's one thing we have to do. The other thing we have to do is we have to bring funds into this decimated station economically, not spiritually, but economically we are. We have people to pay. As far as I'm concerned, we have a couple of back salaries to give some folks as well who had a hard road to hoe over the last year.
Yeah.
And really, it was painful. There were people who had, literally, who were made homeless, who couldn't pay their rents. There were people who had mortgages that went down in the trash bin. It's been hard. And we should think about making those whole. And this particular spot, which is usually a labor program, Building Bridges, your community and labor report, takes those issues seriously. So call 209-2950.
And maybe 212.
I just wanted to say, I'm going to have to get out of here soon. But I just wanted to say two things. One, this has been a personal building and learning experience for me. I understand that if you're going to lead people, and sometimes circumstances force you to lead, not your personal desire, but if you're going to lead people, you also have to be able to learn. You have to be fit to do that. And I have been a student during this process and witnessed things that I think you can't get within the construct of a university. There are some things that you have to get through experience. So I just want to say,
is that like when we blew up that 15-foot rat in front of this
building? I've got some great photographs of that.
Oh, great.
But
and
I just
the laborers
want,
move.
I just want to say a personal to all the people of BAI, to the listeners, and even to those who actually created this circumstance to make sure we had a lesson to learn. I want to say thank you, because every day is a lesson for us, and the only failure is if we don't learn from our lessons.
Well, we're going to learn a little bit more from another lesson in a minute, because we're going to hear that Birmingham speech of Dr. Martin Luther King, 212-209-2950. You know, we're not into premiums right now. You know, for me, that never has been what the station's about. I realize that it's always been strategic to support our own, that it has to be an endeavor of love and affection. And as difficult as the times are, and I must admit, I see it daily in a dramatic way. I'm a Legal Aid Society attorney, and people can only get our services if they are the most indigent. And I can't tell you what it means to be fighting with the bureaucracy for somebody to get food stamps for their children, what it means to know that somebody, for want of maybe $200, is going to wind up in the shelter system, and what it means for their health and their psyche to be in that kind of terrible circumstance of life, what it means for somebody who's an immigrant, who worked here all their life, and now because of the changes in the law in 1996, they can't even get disability as they grow old and may be ill. And yet, those people who struggled to survive really have always informed and bred life into the station, because it was the one place that their voice could be heard and where there were open advocates. And it's hard to ask our sisters and brothers right now for contributions. I do know what the recession's about and what it means to be on a fixed income, what it means to be living on Social Security, what it means to be living on public assistance, and knowing that you're about to be timed out of public assistance to boot, and the decimation of the job market. But we don't have any other way that we want to go, other than to ask you, because if we do, we give up some of our political soul in doing so. That's what happened when we took funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and so on. They attempted to dictate structure and the methodology of our functioning, And that's a problem. So we have to rely on each other. We have to prop ourselves up. That's what movements do. And we need some of your dollars right now, not because there's a premium, not because there's a wonderful book, or because we're giving tapes of Dr. Martin Luther King, but just because we have our radio station. And certainly most of us understood, as listeners and as producers, what it felt like not to be able to hear when that next protest was coming on. I don't even think if most people know. I didn't even know about this. My sister Andrea informed me, like, you know, a lot of the music programming is gone. I remember I was trying to turn on about a week or two ago to Gonzalo, who does a Mexican-based music showing, and he was gone. We were absolutely torn to shreds. And the revolutionary culture that we had become familiar with, as I said, you know what this was all about? It wasn't just firing and banning the producers. It was about firing the listeners. It was about firing the listeners and taking away the real spirituality of our movement that uplifts us and gives us the strength to engage in day-to-day struggle around poverty and all those issues of humanitarianism. And so if you can support those things, that's the premium. Your media network back, your station, 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And we're also going to hear in a moment from, I don't know, there's this guy who's been lurking around, Miguel Maldonado. He's always involved. In, as a matter of fact,
he's a neighbor of mine. How can you talk to
he's
him?
He's not
like,
only
can,
a neighbor,
I mean, how can
on
you
the
talk,
Lower East Side.
You know, in this tone
he
of voice to him.
Well, first of all, he was fighting to save Charas, the community center. Then he and I were together at a demonstration around police abuse of power. No, it hasn't stopped. Oh, my goodness, he's all over the place. And, of course, our brother who came in from New Jersey, had that powerful, wonderful voice and was yelling, "Whose station is it? Whose station?
Look,
it's our station."
You have to create some pressure for me to function. But, you know, one of the key things that is back, you see, WBAI was designed for the underdog, the guy who didn't have this troop behind him, you know. And you were able to walk in, literally walk in the door and say, "I want to tell my story." That was the significance of WBAI, that you didn't have to go through 10,000 qualifiers. All you had to, the only qualifier was you were suffering. And you had to come through the door and say, "Look, I want to tell my story." And you could do that formally. And then all of a sudden, there were these brackets and cataracts and hurdles, and you had to suffer a certain way, and you had to qualify your suffrage. Well, that's not what it's supposed to be about. You don't pick and choose who you're going to save or serve. That's not what it's about. You are either for those who are suffering or you are not. It's that simple. So, pick up the phone and dial.
Waiting for you to say that.
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We're hoping shortly to have two more additional guests, one from South Africa, the head of KUSATU, the Coalition of South African Trade Unions, and my brother, Kamu Kalfani. We're going to help inaugurate you when you win that Councilmatic race in Patterson, New Jersey.
Mimi, I got to say this, and I got to tell you why. Now, you have several times called me Kamu. I just want to make it plain that
I blew it.
First, the name is Kamau, but Kamu is a female name. So I just wanted to let you know that it's Kamau. And Kamu, who is a friend of mine, I'm sure she will appreciate all the airtime.
Well, thank you for being so kind. Week. It's about time, after all that we've known of each other, that you corrected me. It's been great seeing you. And as I said, we have Miguel Maldonado. And in a moment, we're going to go, after we say hello to Miguel, and urge you to continue to call 212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. We're going to go to the Birmingham speech, and we're also going to try to get Sister Ann Braden from Louisville, Kentucky on the line as well. I know that she's been running around all over the South today in her remembrances and efforts to recapture and continue the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King. And again,